I'm so cold, they're gonna call me Captain Yo. Yo, coming with a string of attacks.
No, I'm not a trickster. That guy's hella whack.
What? Wacky like the Joker when he hates on the bats?
Nah, crazy like that bitch Harley when she's on the rag.
Tag team, you know who it is.
Nerdy Boys are coming to review this shit.
Hello and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the week in comics, television, movie, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. So, spoiler warning, if you have not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun. Along with that, explicit content warning. We're going to say bad words. So if you don't like it, fuck off.
Yeah, especially today, as we're talking about Deadpool.
Yes.
Explicitly.
Explicitly. Explicit.
Explicitly and exclusively. This podcast will be all about Deadpool.
Yeah, motherfucker.
And not just the movie, but Deadpool as a character. Who is Deadpool? Where did he come from? Is he a magical fairy? We don't know. But we'll find out over the course of this podcast. You're going to do this thing where you just hide behind your fucking microphone again and pop your head out like a fucking gopher. Like, will I see my shadow today? I know that's a groundhog, but fuck it. Sorry, guys. I apologize for my voice. I've been battling this cough and some other stuff.
The dick in the throat.
Okay. Okay.
Got him. But yes, like my co-host just said, we are going to be covering everything Deadpool, mainly the movie, but we do want to delve a little bit into his past for those less comic book inclined fans.
Yes.
Where, you know, kind of who started him and, you know, whatnot.
Yeah, was he created or did he create himself? We don't know. Actually, we do. So
we'll tell you. We do indeed. So, Deadpool first appeared in New Mutants 98.
Yes, very expensive book.
Very, very, very expensive book. This is. I don't know. There's too much information that Christian printed out.
Most notably. I mean, he was co-created by Rob Liefeld and someone by the name of Nick something or another.
No.
Or, well, his last name was like Nico Vogogoda.
I think his first name was like Francis or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But Rob Liefeld is the important person in that duo.
Yes, he's the person that created, came up with the idea for Deadpool.
Or stole it from Wade Wilson, but I mean Slade Wilson.
Yeah, there
over
we go.
There, over there on.
Funny fact is the co-creator actually named him Wade Wilson as a joke,
mm-hmm.
In reference to Slade Wilson, because he's like, oh, this is just, you know, DC's, you know, Deathstroke.
Yeah.
But yeah, he made his first appearance in 1993 in. New Mutants, and yes. Then he had a couple of miniseries in 1993 and 1994. One was done by Mark Waid. Well, the first was done by the co-creator, which actually kind of surprised me that it wasn't actually the person that created him, right. That actually wrote him. I guess he just created the character and handed him off kind of deal. But the co-creator was the first miniseries. The second miniseries was actually Mark Waid. And something like that, Stumblecron, I don't know how true it is. It's just like information that we found on the internet. I mean, it could be credible, it could not be. But I came across a thing that said that Mark Waid actually decided that like after he was done writing the miniseries, he said that like if he had known how twisted and crazy the character Deadpool was when he first was kind of offered the writing position, that he would have never actually done it because he feels that, you know, heroes that commit crimes need to be held accountable for their actions kind of thing. And as we know, Wade Wilson, he's not held accountable for anything.
Well.
Except for eating chimichangas, of course.
I mean, he's held accountable. He's just not punished. We know it's him. You know, I get what he's saying, though. Yeah.
Yeah. In 1998, though. He got his first ongoing series, which, in case you guys didn't know, there is a difference. Miniseries is like 5 to 8 comic issue series, and then it'll end. That's it. But ongoing could go as long as people are pretty much keep buying.
Right. Yeah, so obviously, like we said, Deadpool, New Mutants 98 came out in 1990. So if you want to know about Deadpool's origin, there are a couple books you might want to read. Most notably, Deadpool number 1, which came out in 97, Marvel Comics 1998 annual starring Deadpool and Death 1998, and Deadpool number 33 from 1999. Mm-hmm. So those are all books that I'll clue you into his origin. We have some, I mean, he has plenty of significant issues and all the shit where he did stuff. That's not really like stuff we're going to talk about. We're not gonna talk about his greatest stories and all this stuff really, but we'll talk about his, you know, his powers and who he is as a character. Yeah. So his occupation, obviously he's a mercenary, merc with a mouth. We all know that, former enforcer, government operative, sumo wrestler and soldier. So interesting. Known relatives. He has unidentified parents. He has an ex-wife named Gretchen. Group affiliations, X-Force, Agency X, formerly Six-Pack, One World Church, DP Inc., Weapon X, Heroes for Hire, Secret Defenders, Frightful Four, Team Deadpool, Lando, Luckman and Lake, Department K, former employee of Tolliver, Kingpin, Taskmaster, and presumably others. Education, high school dropout. Height, 6'2". Pretty good height. Is Ryan Reynolds 6'2"? I think he's like 5'3".
I don't think he's that short.
No. 210 pounds, brown hair. You know, he could play football, right? 6'2", 210. Yeah. Maybe you need to bulk up, right? 225 is good.
No, that's a pretty good weight and height. He'd probably be like a cornerback or safety.
Yeah, sounds good. Deadpool's powers. This is important stuff. He possesses a superhuman healing factor, derived from Wolverine, of course. He can regrow several limbs or vital organs. The speed at which the healing factor works varies in direct proportion to the severity of the damage Deadpool suffers. The healing factor also affords Deadpool a virtual immunity to poisons and most drugs, similar to Poison Ivy's immunity, but not exactly the same. He also has enhanced resistance to diseases and an extended lifespan. Unlike Wolverine's natural healing factor, Deadpool is mentally driven to a partial extent. Due to the presence of the superhuman healing ability, many of Deadpool's natural physical attributes have been enhanced. Deadpool's musculature generates, that's his weird words. Essentially, he's bigger, stronger, and faster. He has less fatigue toxins than the muscles of an ordinary human being, granting him superhuman levels of stamina in all physical activities, and natural strength, agility, and reflexes have been enhanced to levels that are beyond the natural limits of the human body. Deadpool's agility and reaction times are superior to those of even the finest human athlete. So, cornerback. Abilities, extraordinary hand-to-hand combat, skilled multiple unarmed combat techniques, master of assassination techniques, excellent markman, highly skilled with bladed weapons, frequently carrying swords on his back, obviously. And he's also fluent in Japanese, German, Spanish, and other language. Is
nice.
Yes. Weapons, obviously, swords, guns, whatever. He can utilize anything. And that's Deadpool in a nutshell, guys.
That is Deadpool in a nutshell. Couple other things. Yep. Is so when he was first introduced, he was introduced more as a villain, and as you know, the popularity grew with him. He became not a hero, but an anti-hero, a hero that, you know, doesn't see the, you know, he kind of lives his life in the gray area, essentially, much like Punisher, but just cooler, I guess.
Right.
Essentially, that is him. He is psychotic and crazy. He has the ability to see through what we call the fourth wall. Is basically our living world. Where's like the fourth dimension? Where is it? The fourth wall or the fourth dimension?
The fourth wall, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The fourth wall is basically, you know, in the comic books, he'll actually literally be trying to talk. It's like as if he's talking to the audience because it's like he knows he lives in a comic book
Right.
Basically. And
he's aware of his existence.
Yeah.
You know, in a way that other characters obviously aren't.
Yeah.
So.
So that's very all, like, all that stuff is very important to who Deadpool is. He's super funny. I don't know. I don't know what else really to say to him.
Yeah, I mean, and his stories are always consist of, like, humor. Like, even with all this information, we're told that he's a great, skilled guy. We're told all this stuff. But in actuality, like, he's kind of, like, silly and, like, not necessarily skilled. Like, he gets clumsy, you know? But it's like,
I think that's like more of like he does that stuff.
Those are his character quirks, you know.
I don't necessarily believe he's clumsy. I think he does that stuff on purpose. Right. Honestly.
Yeah. I think he perpetuates himself as like inferior and like kind of to be taken as a joke. But I mean, let's be honest here, guys. Like, they didn't make a comic book series called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe because he can't kill the Marvel Universe. It's because he obviously can. Yeah. He's like one of the most deadly mercenaries in the Marvel Universe. But you know, people don't take him seriously, you know, and we'll talk about the movie in a second, but one of the things in the movie that was mentioned is like how the X-Men tried to recruit him, which in the comic books is like, he desperately wants to be an Avenger, but they won't let him. It's hilarious. Like, yeah. you've read like that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like with the Axis and all this stuff, and it's hilarious. But Deadpool is like, is uncannily deadly, and it's crazy. And, one more like interesting note is, if you guys have read Deadpool, you know he has conversations with himself. He has separate bubbles. Like, he doesn't narrate his story by himself. It's like a double narration commentary because he has a voice inside his head. And we come to find out that it's actually a physical person's consciousness. And eventually it gets out of Deadpool's head, and it's a guy named Madcap who ends up working for Deadpool and then turning against him. But interesting stuff there.
Yeah, yeah. That is all grand stuff. Hopefully that helped you clue in to Deadpool a little bit. If you guys didn't know everything about Deadpool already, which most people tend to because he is a very big fan favorite among the Marvel community. He's a great character in general.
Yeah, I mean, Deadpool's blown up. Like, you can find Deadpool merchandise anywhere. You can find Deadpool merchandise easier than you can find, like, even Wolverine merchandise, or, you know, I mean, Spider-Man's hard pressed, like, all because all these new movies and stuff, like, you can find almost all the merchandise. But I'd argue you can find Deadpool easier than Spider-Man now out at like Hot Topic and things like that.
Yeah, probably
much easier. Like, Spider-Man among kid sections, you'd see him more, but in the adult sections, definitely not.
Yeah. So let's get into the movie.
Yes.
So we went and seen the movie last night, actually. I drove down to Brentwood, California to go watch it with my best pal, Christian.
Scott actually risked his life and well-being to come watch this movie with me.
Yes, because my car is very unstable and makes very rickety-rackety noises.
Yes.
And I was very scared that either, one, my power steering was going to go out, or my brakes were going to stop working.
Yeah.
But I still drove an hour and a half to go watch the movie regardless.
Yes.
Because Christian works out in the Bay during the week and then comes back to Elk Grove, California, where we reside.
Yes. Where we reside.
Yes.
So, yeah, and
it was a grand time.
It was a grand time. The movie was great. You know, despite, you know, we got there early, so we did have to wait in a line, but despite the line there and the line at the concessions, we got fantastic seats, obviously. And the seats there are very comfortable. Like, they're very padded. The arms are padded. Like, it's not just like the hard plastic that you're resting your arm on. We had a foot railing, just very comfortable, environment. It would have been better if there was not a 1 year old there. And like the other kids were what, between 3 and 5?
Yeah. So like there's a family like sitting next to us who decided like right before the movie to move away from like the rest of the crowd. They have like a newborn baby. I'm pretty sure like the kid couldn't have been more than like 6 months old. Yeah. And like the kid was like 5, maybe like 3 to 5 in there. And like the kid was fucking screaming, dude. And it was like really pissing me off before the movie. I thought I was going to have to strangle that kid.
Yeah.
I was like, if you ruin this movie for me, I will end your life.
Right.
Notes out there to all the parents. One, don't bring your kids to see Deadpool. That's very inappropriate.
Well, I mean,
secondly,
and if you're going to, sorry to interrupt you, but if you're going to, wait 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Wait till there's not going to be a bunch of people that haven't already seen it.
Yeah.
Secondly, honestly, I have a firm belief. It's like, unless if it's a children's movie, you probably shouldn't bring your kid anyways. Like, they just act too crazy. Like, and you're ruining other people's experience. Like, sorry to be, like, kind of a dick about it, but, like, it's something that super, like, just really fucking irritates me.
And here's the thing, guys. Movies are not given release dates so that you don't have to plan around it. If you want to go see a movie, they tell you it comes out on February 12th. You know when the movie comes out, you have plenty of time to get a babysitter, a plan B, a plan C. As a good parent, you should have plans for your children. I mean, if you're making plans, you should have plans for someone to watch your children. And if you want to go see Deadpool and your kids are between the ages of 0 and 7, hire a babysitter.
Shit. Honestly.
Or don't go.
If your kid is below the age of 13, they should not be watching this movie.
Let's be honest. I know for a fact. I've read comic books almost all my life, but I know for a fact that if I'm under the age of 13, my parents would not have taken me to see this movie.
Yeah, I mean, there was somebody that was like working at the theater. He's like, "Fair warning, this is like your last chance to back out before you actually go in the theater and watch the movie. This movie is beyond rated R."
Yeah, they said it's very, very rated R.
Yeah,
emphasis. You know, and even they ID'd us.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't ID everyone. I don't think, honestly, I think they should ID you twice. They should ID you when you buy the tickets and pick them up, and then ID you again when you go through the door. Because, I mean, IDing you, they should ID you before you pay for the tickets so that you don't have to get a refund. I think, they should ID you then, and then just to make sure you didn't give those tickets to someone else, they should ID you at the door.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they should have like the kind of like double check. You know, discount double check, checks and balances, of course, double check it again. So,
yeah. But anyways, to get actually into the actual movie itself. So what did you think?
So this movie did a number of things, and it did them all well, right? So the movie first meets your expectations. It's true to who Deadpool is, and takes him a little further too. But it's true to who Deadpool is and the kind of person he is, the kind of character he is, and the way he acts. It meets your expectations, goes beyond your expectations, and ultimately leaves you wanting more, leaves you wanting to see more of the movie.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with it more. Like, the movie was just so great.
Right.
Like, dude. Man, Ryan Reynolds did such a great job on this movie. It was unreal.
Right.
Like, how hilarious was this movie?
The movie was hilarious. And I don't want people thinking, oh, the movie's only funny because of the jokes. Like, calling someone a bag of dicks and dick tips and all that stuff really wasn't the funny part. Like the actual visual comedy was way funnier. Like, I never laughed as hard as I laughed. Like, I laughed the hardest I've ever laughed in my life. At the scene, like, me and Scott and I both were just, like, uncontrollably laughing when he's, like, we already announced spoilers, so don't get mad at us, but we're going to spoil this whole movie for you. But he's, like, trying to fight Colossus, and he's, like, hitting him and breaking his hand, and then he, like, starts talking shit, and he hits him with his other hand and breaks it, and, like, kicks him in the fucking nuts, but they're made of steel.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like, literally, he punches, breaks his hand. Punches, breaks his hand, and then, like, lifts up his hands, and, like, his hands are all, like, limp and shit.
Yeah.
And it was just so
He's like...
he's like...
Oh, yeah. He says something about, like, a T-Rex.
He's like, I am a T-Rex, the most feared among all dinosaurs. Hear me roar. And then tried to kick him and then broke his leg. And then tried to kick him again with the other leg and broke that leg, too. And he was just, like, laying there.
Oh, that was the funniest part. Oh. But even beyond all that, beyond just the jokes and being true to the character, when I hear Deadpool's voice when I'm reading it, the delivery is the same to
me.
The way he delivers the lines is incredibly like how you'd imagine it.
Yeah.
It's uncanny. And Ryan Reynolds and Fox, sorry to say this, but Fox Studios did a fantastic job with this film. And I think it's because they put it in the hands of Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I think without Ryan Reynolds, this movie is complete crap, probably. No offense.
Yeah, if someone else is Deadpool, like, the Deadpool, the character, makes the movie work. The rest of it, give or take, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it's like it doesn't work without Deadpool.
Dude, and like how hilarious was it like when he's like throughout the movie he like gives Wolverine like a couple mentions and stuff.
Oh yeah.
But the funniest part, dude, like is like when he's like taking off the mask and like he's wearing like a paper mask of Wolverine, dude.
Of Hugh Jackman's face.
Yeah, fuck it's Hugh so Jackman's funny. Face, dude.
Dude,
funniest shit ever.
And like the like something else like shit, I forgot what I was gonna say, but like there's so many funny parts of this movie. And like when Colossus is like taking him back, he's like, "We're taking you to see the professor." He's like McAvoy or Stewart. This just gets too confusing. It's like your timelines and like your universes get so confusing. It's like it's so I don't yeah. know why it's so funny. Oh, and then when he went to the mansion, he's like, "Wow, this is a big mansion, and it's only you two." He's like, are you the only two who live here, or could the studio just not afford to pay anybody else?
I feel like in this movie, you know, before I kind of forget, I just really want to mention mm-hmm. it. It's like. Okay, so first off, Ryan Reynolds truly understands Deadpool as a character.
Yes.
He understands the whole fourth wall.
Yes.
And they didn't overdo it.
They didn't overdo it, and they didn't waste what they did do with it.
Yeah, it's like, I was just about to say that. It's like, it was a perfect amount and perfect situations of, like, usage of, like, the fourth wall and, like, how he's doing it, and it's like... And just, like, how they kind of, like, mapped out the story of itself. So, it's, like, you start off with him fighting, like, this guy that he's, like, been trying to find. You don't exactly know why mm-hmm. he's been looking for him. You just know that, like, the character that he's looking for is, his name's Francis, by the way. He's looking
Ajax.
For he's looking for Francis so he can fix his face.
Yes, because he's an ugly fuck. He's unfuckable now.
Unfuckable. Looks like the inside of other people's assholes.
What did he say? He said, you look like somebody fucking the topographical map of Utah or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. But basically, you start off with him looking for this character. Like on the freeway, like how you see in all the different, like the commercials leading up for this movie. And, you know, you have flashbacks and you go back to it. Flashbacks, you know, explaining like what's happening to him beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that was like an interesting way of like telling the story. I felt like that was like the only way this story could have been told. And it was great.
Yeah. And I think that with Deadpool, there's just so much. And it starts off too, like right away with the jokes, like they start with the opening credits, you know, and like it's like 20th Century Fox presents, like, and it's like starring some asshole and like written by two dickwads and like all this shit, like a British bad guy and, you know, all this shit. So they kick it
or
off
like
right
a Canadian hero or something.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's so funny.
Yeah, so
he's Canada
A. But let's talk about, besides Deadpool, did the other characters work for you? Weasel and Vanessa, Ajax, that big bitch, Negasonic Teenage Warhead,
yeah.
Colossus.
They all worked for me. I thought they were all perfectly, like, pretty much, like, well-positioned in the mm-hmm. movie. They, in correlation to, like, what was happening with the story, they all made sense. I mean, of course, you know, you do want to see a little bit more X-Men, but, like, the people that they had... They made sense. They were great.
Yeah. The only other X-Men that I really wanted to see was Wolverine. I could care less really about anybody else. Like, we don't need Professor X in this movie. We don't need we don't need the villains. We don't need Magneto. We don't need any of that. Like, I mean, quintessentially, Deadpool is also Wolverine, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, Wolverine... Well, I mean, even just if we see someone, like, unleash claws... in like the mutant making warehouse,
yeah,
or something, just like a nod to it. But we got plenty of fourth wall nods to Hugh Jackman, and things like that. So that was great.
Yeah, and then you also get a big teaser at the end, but we'll save that for later.
We'll save that for later. And then it's so funny when he's talking to the blind lady about looks or whatever, and he's like, she's like, looks don't matter. And he's like, looks do fucking matter. He's like, you think Ryan Reynolds got this far because he's a great fucking actor?
Oh my god, just kind of like roasting him on himself, and it's like wasn't the first time either. It's like,
yeah,
it's like he's like on the cover of like a magazine and oh, like yeah, the opening like, credits and stuff like that. That was hilarious. Yeah.
But and that magazine actually I saw at Safeway today.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, just so what did you think? I think the only character I can honestly say wasn't. Like, they could have easily replaced her was Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
I think she served her purpose.
And I do, too. Well. But
and I think she let she opened the door for Deadpool to talk shit more, which you don't really need. Because,
yeah.
Obviously, he'll never stop talking because, you know, he's the Merc with a mouth. But I feel like she was a good character to connect with the teenagers who would be in the audience, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I like Kitty Pryde better. I think she's a better choice, but in a Deadpool film, not so much.
Yeah, I think Colossus was the perfect choice.
Yeah,
that was just—I mean, you can't do it without him.
and beyond the characters and all this other stuff, just the fucking suit.
The suit was so like, good.
It's the best superhero suit, maybe besides Captain America's in the like later films. That I've seen. Like, I mean, obviously Iron Man's is all CGI and all this stuff, but this is a real life suit. Like, I think a little CG around the eyes and that's it. The rest of it is all real.
Yeah.
So, and where else are you going to see a movie where someone gets shot up the asshole?
Yeah, dude. That was so funny. Oh, right up Main Street. what a good time.
Yeah. This movie just had everything for everyone.
Yeah,
I mean, even I don't want to bash people, but like, there are plenty of people who like Deadpool who don't read comic books, who are not fans of comic books, who would happily bash Marvel or DC or whatever. That you know, those are the people that love the faces of the franchises now. Deadpool, Harley Quinn, love them. Don't know anything about them, but love them. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can love characters without knowing anything about them. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
So, but you know, those people who went to see this movie. Would love it. And here's a bold, not really a prediction, but a bold statement I have to make. And it is, if this movie wasn't rated R, I think it would blow Civil War out of the water as far as ratings and the amount of money it brings in.
Wait, what?
If this movie wasn't rated R, as far as like, because rated R movies typically don't do as well because less people can see them.
Yeah.
I won't say that. If this movie was accessible to everybody in its current format, it would make more money than Civil War.
Agreed. Oh, which reminds me of making money, as we totally forgot to mention it yes. during our little Deadpool background info yes. type whatever. Overnight, Deadpool made $13 million.
In the U.S., yeah.
In the U.S. and like what, another like $12 million, $13
million? International, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, it had the highest opening day for a rated R movie ever.
Yeah, I pretty much, man, honestly, I feel like the sky's the limit for this movie. I feel like this is a movie where people could enjoyably go watch it multiple times. Star Wars, you know, but I mean, who really could be on that level? But
I feel like, but on that note, though, one day soon we'll have to readdress Star Wars. But continue, sorry.
I agree. But on that note, I can easily see it reaching, like, Jurassic World numbers, dude.
I don't know if it can reach Jurassic World numbers just as a result of its rating. I know it seems like, you're just going to jump on the rating. Yeah, I'm going to jump on the rating because it does hinder people from seeing it.
But it obviously doesn't hinder obviously that many people from seeing it. Obviously not that many,
at least from our experience. But it will stop, you know, at least responsible parents. You know, there are a few of them, but they are out there.
But see, here's the difference, though, is like Deadpool has a cult following.
Yeah, but so does Jurassic Park.
Not the type of following that Deadpool have, dude.
I don't want to overemphasize the size of the Deadpool following. I know Deadpool has a huge following because, you can go anywhere now and find Deadpool products, almost anywhere. Like, Deadpool is a universal character almost. But I've still heard people, you know, in movie theaters when, you know, they had, like, the Christmas setup with him, like, in a chair or whatever. You could, like, sit on his lap or whatever in the movie theater. I've seen people, like, literally 12, 15-year-olds point at him and say, wow, look at that weird-suited Spider-Man. I've actually heard that. So, I mean, even though there is a level of recognition there, and people know it's a Marvel character, a superhero, there are still people who don't know who he is. And I would attribute that mostly to people over the age of 40 and under the age of 10.
Maybe.
But between the ages of 18 and 34, that demographic, this movie is going to be huge. 80% of people in that demographic probably know who he is.
Yeah.
So
I definitely think this movie has the possibility of just reaching staggering numbers I don't think we quite comprehended that it could achieve.
Yeah, I think we knew it would do well as a movie, but we doubted its success on a high level because of its rating.
Yeah.
And I did read something, an interview with the people who wrote and directed the movie, and they were pretty much saying that you can't, they're responding to the petition, essentially, the PG-13 petition. And they're saying, well, you can't come out with two different versions of the movie and put them in theaters because people will get confused. You'll have a Deadpool that's rated R, a Deadpool that's rated PG-13. And if the movie ends up giving your kids the rated R tickets and not the PG-13 tickets, and they show the wrong film, they're liable. You can't do that. It creates confusion. They're saying eventually there will be a version that comes out where younger people can see it. But they're saying, they said, bring your kids to the movie. They encourage people to bring their kids to the movie. They said,
yeah,
bring your kids to the movie. They said, who better to learn about, who better to teach you about sex than Deadpool? Who better to teach you about violence than Deadpool?
Well, they don't care. They don't care what right. sort of effects that it could have, like, socially and stuff like that.
Right.
They care about selling
right.
the product.
Yes.
I mean, they don't care who they sell it to.
Right. And obviously, they don't have a high moral calling when they're making the Deadpool movie, you know? Like, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, guys, I'm not saying that you have to be a bad person to make a Deadpool movie. I'm just saying that when you do make a Deadpool movie, the way you do, you know, like, the you know, because you didn't have to make it rated R, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to make it rated R and you go to that distance and in the jokes or whatever, you know, and you can call them juvenile or stupid or whatever, but I mean, guys, the movie was funny and it was fantastic, so I'm not taking that away from it. But the people who write and direct this movie are not out there to be, you know, to send you a message and to tell you that, you know, instruct you of anything. They're there to make money. And yeah. they're there to, you know, of course they want you to enjoy yourself and enjoy the movie. They want to make a good piece of work.
Yeah.
But they're not there to send the message that, well, kids shouldn't see this and it's not good for them and it'll be, you know, all this stuff. And parents should be responsible. That's not what they're there for. That's the parents' job. They're not there to police your children. Yeah. They're there to make money. And true. A good film in the process.
Yeah. So back to the movie, though.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So the story was good. It wasn't overpowering, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't, like, a terrible story, which you could expect from a movie like this. Like, you could expect that the acting would be great and it'd be funny, but the story would be you know?
Yeah.
But the story wasn't bad.
I thought the story was great.
Right. And it stuck to who Deadpool is. One of the things they don't go into, like, because it's hard to, there's so much excess, like, that we don't even need, like, all the different aliases of Wade Wilson, and Wade Wilson isn't really his name, it's just his, you know, most popular cover and all this shit, you know? But that's all stuff we don't need. So, fine. Cut it out. Good. You know, but they got the cancer thing, all this stuff, the treatment center, whatever, could have been anything. Vanessa, a little bit extraneous, but very good. I thought Miranda Backron did an excellent job in that role as Copycat, but we don't go to her as Copycat really in this movie.
Yeah.
But I thought she was great. I'm sure you thought she was great.
Yeah.
The acting was great overall. The British bad guy, he was good.
Yeah.
The big bitch who barely spoke, whatever. Take her or leave her, but she was very strong. She was necessary to, you know, we needed somebody to keep Colossus busy and Negasonic Teenage Warhead busy. And just like they found the perfect balance. We Scott and I spent a lot of time today talking about balancing things, finding the perfect medium, finding all this stuff in, you know, in politics and all this other stuff. And you know, and it's important in all aspects of life, and especially in movies. You know, you can't have too much excess. You can't have, you know, too much boring, too much. They found a perfect medium of everything. And I mean, they give you exposition, they give you all this stuff, and they present it in fun new ways. And that's really what made this movie great, was how creative they were with telling the story.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, their storytelling was just phenomenal. But let's talk about the action scenes. Like, how great, like the choreography.
Oh, yeah.
So fantastic. You know, you didn't see, like, the same boring ass, like, you know, you swing on me, I block you, I punch you, mm-hmm. block, you know, kick. You know, you got fucking spinning fucking flips where he's like
awesome.
Kebobbing people, fucking like throwing a car lighter in somebody's mouth. You got, you know, him getting shot up the asshole. You got fucking like a hell of different shit that happens in this movie. A lot of parkour kind of, I mean, what would you expect really from a master mercenary that he's a master of martial arts, master swordsman, master marksman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what got like how just everything about this movie I felt was just so perfectly done. There's honestly nothing in this movie I feel like I would change.
Yeah, I mean, everything about the movie was great.
There's actually one thing. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I think I would have given like some sort of nod, but I think we'll get that later in the future of Deadpool and Marvel, and hopefully there's some sort of deal that will eventually come of this to bring Deadpool over to the MCU, some sort of thing. I mean, we can all be hopeful, but that's for an entirely different discussion. But I felt like it would have been great to have some sort of nod to like how we were talking about Deadpool trying to get into the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was just like a letter to Tony Stark, he's like, you know, he's just like writing a letter, dear Mr. Stark.
Or dear Tony, to keep it generic, you know, like if they didn't want to have to use Mr. Stark. I mean, just.
Well, I think they could use a name. They just probably can't use a character or
dear Tone.
Yeah. Or, you know, dear. Somebody of the Avenger persuasion that has influence.
Dear man, comma iron.
Yeah, dear Stan Dashley, I feel like there should have been something there. There should have been something there for him trying to get into the Avengers. But like I said, it's not a big deal. I think there's definitely room for that in the future. But talking about Stan Lee, though, it was such a funny way to introduce him into the movie.
Oh, yeah, his cameo.
Yeah, it's fucking hilarious. What was he like? He's like the DJ for the strip club.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That shit was hilarious. Or, oh, dude, how funny was it? Like, when they were talking about the shit emoji.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, dude, for the longest time, I thought that was chocolate pudding.
So good. So good. But.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it would have been great if we could, you know, get some nod to the MCU. I mean, he did kind of nod to it in the post-credit scene. Just kind of like, why are you still here? We don't do that shit around here. But they did do that shit around there. But yeah, I mean, Deadpool has his feet in so many different pools, if you will. Like he's not just himself anymore. Like, I mean, in his latest run, he's teaming up with old man Steve Rogers, you know, like, Spider-Man and Deadpool is a huge comic book series. And now has already had two printings.
That's like probably like the best dynamic duo that you can probably
honestly,
think of in Marvel.
I didn't enjoy that book.
Really?
I think it would have just been better if it wasn't some mini series crossover event. But yeah, I mean, the dynamic between Deadpool and Spider-Man is fun, but the writing to me wasn't great, so.
Yeah, that is what it is. So, what do you think we can expect from the next Deadpool?
Well, I think we can expect Cable from the next Deadpool.
Yeah.
Unless
yeah.
he's lying
so,
to us.
I mean, yeah, he could be. So, in the post-credit scene, he did talk about, he's like, he's like, don't tell anybody, it's a big secret, but Cable is going to be in the next movie. We don't know who he's going to be, but he's going to be
telling people.
Sorry, Ryan Reynolds, we're telling peeps.
Yeah, I mean, they don't know who's casting him and all this stuff, but or who they're casting as him, sorry. But, yeah, I mean, Cable means X-Force typically. Maybe tie-ins with Jean and Cyclops.
Maybe.
Who we know is his parents.
And then if... Oh, dude, how cool was it? What? Oh, fuck, I always forget the name of the ship for the X-Men.
Oh, the...
Wow.
Yeah.
God, I'm, like, blanking out right now.
I knew what it was when I saw it yesterday, and I said it in my mind, but now that you can't remember it, I can't remember it.
Yeah, but you know, the X-Men ship.
Yeah.
I totally cannot think of the name of it right now, but
it's
anyways,
like the X-Plane or
X-Jet or
yeah,
maybe something like that. I don't know. I forgot. Anyways, that was super cool to see that in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty cool.
And the mansion and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that was
like
cool
just
too.
The mansion itself. It's like right when you see the mansion, you know exactly what mansion that is.
Right.
I mean, they show like a brass plate, you know, saying that it's the X-Men
Institute School for gifted youngsters. But
yeah,
as soon as they showed the overhead view of it, we knew what it was. And
yeah,
that was the exciting part. I was like, oh, I knew Colossus and Negasonic were in this movie, but I'm like, shit, nigga.
Like, I was like, say what?
We're like in the mansion now? I was like, who else is going to be in there?
Apparently nobody.
Because they couldn't afford it. Because they didn't give Deadpool that much money. And if they did, it all went to Ryan Reynolds. I mean, I would give it to Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
So
I mean, honestly, for the budget they probably did have, like, amazing work.
Yeah. And I mean, Deadpool had to, or like Ryan Reynolds had to get like all that makeup done on his whole body while he fought naked. Like, shit, man, you couldn't pay me enough to fight naked.
Oh, actually, there is another gripe. I think there wasn't enough references to chimichangas. There's one in the movie. One.
Yeah, and we didn't see him eating any chimichangas.
Yeah, he's like trying to make some chimmy fucking changas. And then that's it. Was your chimichanga. Really? Fuck.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't say chimichangas or anything, he could have just like, you know, when he was in his house, he could have like been hungry.
Yeah.
And like, he could have just been like, you could see like a rapper saying chimichanga.
I do think that the IKEA product name jokes was kind of excessive. Like, they were just like making fun of like the IKEA products and stuff, like with their names.
And, what?
Like, When she was like building that dresser from like IKEA or whatever, and he's like, well, this one's better than this one, like, and they're like just making fun of all the names and shit, like, that's like kind of unnecessary, you know?
Dude, how funny was it when his little hand was going back? He's like, I bet my dick could feel so large in this.
Yeah,
and he's like, you're gonna have to leave now.
Yeah,
he's gonna jack off.
Oh boy.
Oh, a little masturbation action going on there. The masturbator.
Yes.
Yeah, buddy,
you'll never be able to stop the unstoppable masturbator. All will bow to the Dark Lord Bader.
what I don't
it's from a TV show where like this guy got corrupted from like Dracula, and like he was trying to hide it. So like he was like, nobody can escape. Like, they were talking about finding Dracula, and he was like, nobody can escape the Master Bader. And then later he was like the presence of the Dark Lord Bader. So I guess great job covering yourself there.
Good job.
So
well done.
Well done.
Oh.
But, I mean, I don't know if there's much else to talk about with Deadpool besides that it was a chuckle fest. And it was also very awesome, great, and cool. And we have X-Force, presumably X-Force coming next.
All right,
I hope X-Force means, like, the whole team. Warpath, X-23, Wolverine, Deadpool. I mean
that would be ideal, cool. Right?
That'd be ideal.
So maybe
Kane.
That'd be pretty dope. What do you think the chances of Fox working with the MCU for Deadpool?
I I think...
I mean, it's a question that had to be asked and needs to be answered as well.
I think that we need to see what will happen with Fantastic Four, the Flopperouskies, because if that enterprise gets, you know, if they do a deal with Marvel the way that Sony did with Spider-Man because of the poor nature of the films, I think that'll open the door for X-Men and Deadpool to come through.
Yeah.
It's difficult because of all these rights and all these separate studios. And, you know, it's great that we can have Spider-Man for Civil War. But, like, when you think of Civil War, like, I also think about how heartbreaking it is with Sue and Reed and kind of the split there and what Sue does and all this stuff. So I think that's all very important too. But we're not going to get that, and it's going to be a different story anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the coolest parts of that book is when Sue saves the Resistance while she's working with Iron Man's team, and then leaves the note and then leaves Reed and goes and helps him. But, you know.
Yeah, I think.
I think, like, that stuff we want to also see, but we can't because Fantastic Four is owned by a different studio. If we can get Fantastic Four, I think we can get, I mean, X-Men. I don't know how poorly X-Men will do, the new X-Men movie. But if it doesn't do well, then it'll move over, I think. I think, you know, once they start losing their franchises, they'll be more willing to work with Marvel to revamp them.
There has to be some sort of deal or something that the Marvel company can actually do to kind of force their hand a little bit.
Well, Fox, I mean, they're not going to think logically. Think about this. Fox didn't make Deadpool good. Ryan Reynolds made Deadpool good.
Yeah.
And
but they're going to assume that it was their studios that produced it, so.
Right, they hired the right people. You know, Fox has been shutting this movie down for 13 years. This movie's 13 years in the making. They've tried to get this movie going. So, I mean, two drafts have been shot down, all this other stuff. The movie almost didn't happen so many times. The only reason the movie happened is because Ryan Reynolds and one of the execs, not the execs, but one of the CGI guys, put together test footage for San Diego Comic-Con a couple of years ago. We all saw the test footage. Remember that?
Yeah.
So fucking cool. We're like, awesome. That outcry is what led to this movie. Fox tried to kill this movie.
Yeah.
So fuck Fox. And everybody else who likes Fox. No.
Interesting.
But, I mean, like we talked about on our podcast last week, just because people like Bryan Singer's X-Men doesn't mean Bryan Singer knows X-Men. Bryan Singer's not the X-Men guy. He doesn't read comic books. He knows shit about X-Men.
So, I still feel like you haven't truly answered my question, though.
I hope that something is worked out between the MCU and Fox for Deadpool. I want to see Deadpool interact with Cap and Iron Man and, you know, the core group and all this stuff, but do I think it'll happen? Not for a couple years, at least a couple years. Yeah. So,
I mean, because now you think about the possibilities of, you know, the MCU working out a deal with Sony. So why couldn't Fox do kind of the same thing? And as well is the character that they did it with,
right?
Is like when you think of Deadpool, it's like you start to think of who he teams up with and who's the most popular that he teams up with is Spider-Man.
Frequently,
yeah. So
how big of a door do you open when you have Infinity Wars coming? You have this character Thanos who has the biggest grudge match in the world with
Deadpool
because of death.
And so you open all kinds of different things, exciting stuff to think about.
Yeah, I mean, like that's the thing is like you can do these stories without some of these characters, but they'll just enhance the story so much.
Yeah.
So.
It's the difference between making a good story and a perfect story,
right?
In my opinion.
And we're not experts. We're not filmmakers. We're not storytellers. So, I mean, who are we to say what's best? But we're fans, and we know what fans want to see. And fans want to see things from the comic books.
Yeah, yep.
Fans want to see Thanos versus Deadpool over death, even though Deadpool could care less.
Exactly.
Fans want to see the series Deadpool versus Hawkeye because Hawkeye is a little bitch sometimes.
Yeah.
Fans want to see, Hulk versus Deadpool. People want to see Deadpool kills Marvel Universe. People want to see Marvel Zombies. People want to see these things, these big events that happen, especially Deadpool big events. You know, and Deadpool can't kill the Marvel Universe if Deadpool is part of a universe that only has X-Men.
Exactly.
And
so,
Fantastic Four. So.
I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day. Gradings?
Yeah, I mean, by the way, grading scale, guys, for you, out of 10, kind of comic book gradies kind of stuff. 10 is perfect. Nothing wrong with it. Not, you know, A, B, C, whatever. 90% and whatever. And goes down. So, just a little disclaimer there. I would probably say 9.6.
I'll put it at a 9.8. And honestly, if it wasn't for the lack of use of chimichangas, it would have got a 10. It really would have, in my opinion. I think that's the thing that killed it for me.
Yeah, I mean, there was never a moment in the movie where I was like, this is boring, or I was like, I wish this would be different. Like, I never... I'm a pretty critical person. You know, like, I'm kind of a dick sometimes. And I never for one point in this movie thought, they shouldn't do that. This is bad. Why are they doing this? You know, I didn't get frustrated. And I'm easily frustrated. So, you know, in my moment in the theater, you know, like, the moment is kind of, you know... You can't replicate it until I go back. But it's like I haven't been that enthralled, I guess you could say, with a movie. I haven't thought, oh, this is so cool. Since probably Age of Ultron, like when we saw that movie, like we saw the Infinity Stones and all that shit, like that's exciting stuff, you know? But, you know, it's nothing like this. And like I said, I never laughed harder in my life.
Yeah, I've never been more captivated by a movie. So hysterically funny. And then, like, it had its serious moments as well. It's, you know, it's heartfelt messages, whatever, you know. I've just never been so completely consumed by a movie like that in quite a while. You know what I mean? It was just such a great movie.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand the criticism of, like, oh, it's juvenile, all these dick jokes and whatever. Because, like, you know, he says dick and dick tips and all this stuff a lot or whatever. But, like, you know, even through those arguments, like, maybe you don't find it funny. I mean, even, like, we didn't always laugh at those parts. But, like, that doesn't take away from the rest of the movie, you know? Yeah. It's just part of his character. It adds to the movie, even if you don't like it. And Deadpool's not there to be your friend, guys. Let's be real about this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it's going in the books.
It's going in the
9.8 for me and 9.6 for Christian.
Yeah. Just another good movie. I mean... The first good Fox movie. No, I'm just kidding. But
No, seriously, that could be really said. It's the first good Fox movie.
The best one they've done to date. I don't want to discredit. Like, honestly, they've had other decent movies, but...
So, I know it's kind of hard to categorize all this, but because it is a Marvel product, we have to consider, where does this rank on the Marvel movie scale?
Compared to MCU films?
Yeah.
I mean... It's kind of ambitious, but I'd put it alongside Winter Soldier, which to me is one of the best. They do different things. It's hard to compare them. They do way different things. But as far as how entertaining and how great the action is, how great the movie is, it's up there with Winter Soldier, you know? And even the first Avengers, like, the humor is different, obviously. Like, in the movie is different, but it's on point with those movies as far as action and... I mean, the scale isn't as large, obviously, and, you know, he's, you know, not a superhero. We know this. But the movie was just great, so.
Yeah, I put it in top three. Top three, easily.
I think current top three, I think we have, what, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers 1. Something like that. Some combination like that. Yeah,
I think that. I would honestly put...
I think I'd put it tied to with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think it's pretty on par, just tied with it. I mean, geez, guys. The movie was so great. I haven't heard anything bad. I have not honestly seen a bad post on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook. Haven't seen a bad review yet for it. Nothing.
I saw an early review from Comic Book Resources. I didn't read it, but the title said, Deadpool is a movie that shouldn't work, but does.
Yeah.
Which doesn't tell you anything. It's just a headline.
Yeah. I mean, this is something to consider, guys. Rotten Tomatoes never gives good grade. And this movie, what was it? What did it get?
I don't know what it got on Rotten Tomatoes, but I heard it was Rotten Tomatoes approved.
Oh, man, I forgot what the grade was. Fuck. Where's my phone?
Yeah. I don't know what it got on Rotten Tomatoes. I just heard it's Rotten Tomatoes approved. But I think the movie deserves all the accolades it's going to get. And that's not saying too much because, I mean, I don't know. I don't think the movie's going to win any movie awards or anything like that. But the movie was just great. And I mean, it's difficult, but I do attribute almost all of it to Ryan Reynolds. Because beyond the writing, beyond the direction, beyond the other characters, this movie was Ryan Reynolds' big kind of fuck you to the old Wolverine series and whatever, and you know, or what the Origins movie, because that movie was kind of a crying shame, right? So
okay. On Rotten Tomatoes, there's two different ratings. Assuming critics that work for Rotten Tomato, they gave it an 84%, which is extremely high for their website. They usually give very, very low grades.
Mm-hmm.
The audience score was 96%.
Well,
that is insane.
Yeah, and that's the grade I gave it. Essentially, not to toot my own horn, you know, because that actually means nothing. But yeah, I mean, incredible ratings.
So this was the critics' consensus from RottenTomatoes.com. Was fast, funny, and gleefully profane. The fourth wall busting Deadpool's subverts superhero film formula with wildly entertaining and decidedly non-family friendly results.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. It's in the books, guys.
And it's true. The movie, honestly, guys, is not family friendly. From language to everything else.
It started going.
Yeah. Don't be concerned. This is a result of me not checking. Remember, because I split to do editing there. So if you guys don't know what's going on, we're recording right now. We're watching a record. And it's recording over old recordings. And that's because I deleted the old recording, but I didn't go through the line to delete because we don't usually split, but we started, you know, if you guys listened to our last week's podcast, there's a transition to the Flash, transition to Arrow. So when I had to split to include those, I didn't go through and delete these. So when this is done, it'll create a line and I'll just delete them out of there. So, I mean, they're not recording with each other. It's not like we're talking right now and then you're going to hear us talking about the Flash and shit last week, but yeah, it's all good.
No worries, guys.
I just did that to ease Scott's nerves because I'm sure he's watching this like, why is it recording over what we're talking about?
Dude, so. That's exactly what I thought. Well, because like if you guys didn't catch, there's a couple pauses awkwardly in this podcast is because I kept looking over at because we have an open program where it shows like us recording and it records the sound of our voice and blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But it was stuck on like 35 minutes and it wouldn't move past that. And I kept looking over and I was like very concerned that it wasn't actually even recording us.
Yeah. So GarageBand, for some reason on my big, giant, capable Mac, is kind of laggy a lot of times. So
it's a little upsetting.
But it's all good. You know, we'll get through it. But as far as Deadpool goes, we're pretty much done.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure I'll reference this movie for a long time to come. I'm sure we'll talk about it more. If we missed any points that you guys really want us to go in depth on, please let us know. You can start a forum on our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com.
Yes.
You can also find us on all the social media links on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also now find us on Snapchat, guys. Go yes. At us at Nerdy Boys Review. So
it would be Nerdy Boys Reviews, but they don't let you have that extra character.
Yeah.
So
don't make the mistake of trying to add that extra character.
Yeah, and I think it's the same on Twitter. I don't think they give you the extra character, so I think it's Nerdy Boys Review on Twitter as well.
Yeah. But don't worry, guys. All those links will be in the show notes below. Well, assuming that'll be below.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, look for the show notes linked for all our different websites, social media links and stuff. Follow us on those. You know, drop some messages to us and whatnot.
We're not going
to
link these, but if you want, you can also follow us personally on Twitter or whatever. I'm at Nerdy Boy Inhuman.
I am at IBeastMode916, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't even use my own Twitter anymore. Yeah.
Scott uses the Nerdy Boy Twitter, and I'll just use my Twitter because we kept like double responding to the same things.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, well. And I was like, oh, I'll switch over. And then like when I did, Jamar stopped like replying to me. Like he replied to the Nerdy Boys page, but not to me. And I'm like, oh, I guess I'm just talking to you now.
That's all right.
Yeah, so.
So, that's all we have for you guys. Thanks for sticking through this entire podcast. If you guys did, if you guys didn't, go fuck yourself.
You're not around to hear us, so.
Just kidding. Anywho.
But, yeah, we do have some more exciting shings coming, we're hoping.
Shings.
But that'll all be kind of expanded upon in our full-length podcast about our shows and our news and all that other stuff.
Yeah. So. I also created some threads on our forum. You guys should go check those out, of course, on our website, nerdyboysreviews.com. Under the forum section, I believe it's in the news tab. There's three new threads, so go check those out. Reply to them,
and
be a good pal.
Yes. And one last thing before we go, a huge shout out to follower on Twitter at ProFlixPoster, Nicholas J.
My friend.
Yes.
You are a wonderful feller.
You are a wonderful everything. You provide us with, invaluable feedback, and we appreciate it. Even though we've never met you and you've never met us, you listen to our podcast and you get back to us. And that's something that, really encourages us. And, that's why we do this, is to be able to communicate with you guys and all this stuff, have fun, talk about what we all love and enjoy it. True. Mad love, 916, all that stuff. And thanks for everything.
Yeah. So. And as always, we are your host. I am Nerdy Boy Scott.
I am Nerdy Boy Christian.
Who are you, imposter?
Sorry.
And as always, we have one simple message here at MBR, and that is to
stay nerdy, boys.